Well, good evening, church. We're continuing our series for these Wednesday nights that we've been together on scriptures that define our faith. Scriptures that define our faith. And of course, this series could go on till Jesus comes because every scripture is so powerful in the book. But these are key verses that we're highlighting that we've all known so well that I want to point out maybe some things you've never looked at, maybe just a different perspective or a different angle on the verse that you've not considered before, because familiarity, the famous saying goes, breeds contempt. In other words, that which we think we know, we tend to lay aside as irrelevant revelation or unproductive to our current situation, just something we don't need right now because we quote unquote already have the t-shirt. So what we're going to do here is take these verses as we look at them each week and just try to bring out a new dimension to them to give you a fresh perspective and help you see it in a way that will deepen your appreciation for the Word of God and avoid that idea of being just kind of flippant about it. So let's open with a word of prayer and we'll get started. Thank you, Father, that we are here today to learn of you. Holy Spirit, you are our great teacher. And we ask you to reveal, open our eyes to see what you want us to see from Scripture so that we can behold Jesus in a fresh new way and appreciate his beauty more deeply. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the scripture we're going to take a look at tonight is found in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans chapter 3. Romans is right after Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts is a book that describes all the acts that were done, the outward signs and wonders that were performed through the apostles by the working of the Holy Spirit. And the book of Romans is found right after that. It's a doctrinal book. It's about 16 chapters long, I believe. And Romans is a really, really solid book to sink your teeth into to understand good doctrine, the doctrine or the basic tenets of our faith. And Romans 3:23 is a verse that we all know if you've ever been taught, quote unquote, the Roman road to salvation, because the Romans built highways, roads that were helpful in connecting cities and connecting places all throughout their empire. It was kind of a first back in the day, and they had these cobblestone roads that would make travel and commerce much more easy for the people of that time. And so there are verses throughout the book of Romans that help us to when we're witnessing to the lost. And this is a famous verse, Romans 3:23. In fact, I think it's about the first verse that people start with when they talk about the Roman road to salvation. For all have sinned, the King James Version reads, and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I was looking at it in another translation. I think it was the Passion Translation. I want to read that to you. Yeah, I like this wording in the Passion Translation. It says, for we all have sinned and are in need of the glory of God. In other words, we've fallen short of it, but we still need it. It's not like the goals have changed or the original intent has changed. It's just that we've come to a point that we realize we can't get there on our own. But I like the way that Passion reads there, but we're still in need of the glory of God. Let me read it to you one more time from the King James. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then again in this modern translation it says we're still in need of it. I like that. I like that. Well, if we stopped right there, we would probably end on a negative note and a note that creates frustration for all. But actually, this point, Romans 3:23, is intended to do just that. It's intended to accentuate the frustration that will lead people to cry out for a Savior. And it's also voiced later in Romans chapter 7, which that whole chapter deals with a person struggling against trying to keep the laws of God in their own strength. And in the end of chapter 7 of Romans, if you look at verse 24, the outcome of someone struggling with their attempts to keep God happy through the keeping of the law, he says here, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? In other words, the end result is, the apostle saying here is that anybody who tries to please God by keeping the law is going to wind up in frustration. The law will simply magnify how out of sorts they are and how out of connectedness to holiness they really are. But thank God for verse 25. It goes on and it says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Another translation, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the NIV. I love that, because rather than ending on the negative, which we all know we fall short of God's glory in many areas, but the scripture gives us a positive ending to that. And in Romans 7:25, there's your answer. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, flipping back to Romans chapter 3, because that's where we're focused tonight. The verse right after verse 23, if you read in verse 24, it says this. Let me start again at 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So again, there's that starting on a negative note or a negative foot, but then ending positively. When you press on into verse 24, you see that it ends on a good note. Thanks be to God. The message that I want you to get, and I want to read that verse too from the Passion Translation, because it's really good. So again, I'll just read both verses in the Passion. It's verse 23, for we all have sinned and are in need of the glory of God. Yet through his powerful declaration of acquittal, God freely gives away his righteousness. His gift of love and favor now cascades over us. I like that. And all because of Jesus, the Anointed One, has liberated us from the guilt, punishment, and power of sin. Man, that's a powerful verse, especially in that translation. So God's saying here, look, mankind has to come to the point that he realizes he can't do it. He can't be holy, perfect, just, righteous on his own. And that's why we have verse 23 in Romans chapter 3. It just is a summary of all the efforts. In fact, this verse really summarizes the whole Old Testament when you look at it from Adam to Jesus, not just Moses to Jesus. But, you know, God gave Adam one rule, just one rule, Adam. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's it. You can do anything else. God didn't say, hey, you can't stay out late at night. You and Eve can't skinny dip in the river. He didn't say any of that. He said, there's one rule, and that is don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that one rule, they just, like a moth to the flame, they just drew right to it to break it. And of course, for thousands of years after that, leading up to the time of Jesus, mankind just over and over proved what Romans 3:23 declares here, all have sinned, whether Jew or Gentile, whether those under God's law or those who have no knowledge of God's law. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In fact, this is a very powerful verse, even though on the surface or at the front, it sounds very negative. It actually is the stumbling stone, if you will, that causes people to recognize they have to stumble over this truth. I'm a sinner. I remember years ago I heard a famous recording. There was someone who had written a song, and in the song during the music interlude, they had Billy Graham quoted. It was like a part of a sermon he had shared, and in it he was saying, "I still recognize I'm a sinner." Well, of course, I don't personally advocate that, but I get his point. His point is that by nature, apart from the renewing of the mind, we tend to do the wrong thing. We tend toward imperfection. And I mean, if Billy Graham says it, we all must admit, hey, Lord, I'm not perfected yet. So, you know, this is just a rock bed truth that every sinner has to come to, and believers alike. From time to time, we must come to the stone of falling in order to be saved. We must come to this point in Romans 3:23. Jesus, I need a Savior. I need a Savior. And that's the beauty found in the following verse, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So God doesn't leave us without an answer, but in order to get the answer, we have to be willing to admit We have a question. And the question is, we recognize our sinfulness or our lack. You know, this verse, as I said, it's so crucial. Paul said it this way in Galatians 3:24, the last part of that verse, it says, "The law was given to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith." And in Romans 3:20, if you look up a couple verses here from where we're at, it says, "By the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." So the law was given, Paul said there in Galatians 3:24, to lead us to Christ, because, as it says in Romans 3:20, through the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, the law was given to the Jews to show them their sinfulness, that they can't be holy in their own strength. So the basic truth of Romans 3:23 is this: you need a Savior. You need God. And this reminds me of another truth that we all understand from Scripture. This is from James chapter 4. I believe it's around verse 7, where he says, "God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Let me find that verse just so I get the reference right with you. That is in James chapter 4. Verse 6. That is why Scripture says, quote, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." That's actually a quote from the Old Testament, Proverbs 3:34. God resists the proud or opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so the whole essence or the whole heartbeat of Romans 3:23 is not just to point out to sinners, you are a sinner, but it should be a reminder that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Even as believers, as children of God, we, as we're walking through our daily life, we fall short of the glory of God. And this is why I said a couple weeks ago when I did a teaching on the hope of glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory, I taught that, that Jesus, if you'll let him guide you in every situation, if you'll cry out to him, it's that attitude of humility. That's what we really glean here from Romans 3:23. That attitude that says, I need a Savior at every turn. I am imperfect. I am incapable of doing that which is divine, that which is holy, that which hits the mark, bullseye. I can't do it on my own. And that's why we need a Savior. When you have that attitude and you truly humble yourself at every turn, then God gives grace to you and that becomes your hope of glory. In other words, it makes a channel, it makes a way for glory to be manifested into your life. So certainly as it pertains to righteousness, Romans 3:23 teaches us that we must come to a point where we recognize I am a sinner and I have fallen short of the glory of God. But also, just in a very practical way, in your day-to-day living, saints, I mentioned before that when Terry and I were first married, we prayed about everything. I mean, we stopped and prayed about everything, every little thing. Even, you know, things that people would laugh and go, "Oh, that's silly. I don't need God's help with that." Oh, really? Are you going to try to achieve it in your own strength? Or do you want to see the glory of God manifest in that situation? If you do, then pray about everything. That's the point here. Romans 3:23, it leads. It's a verse that helps people recognize their need for a Savior when they're lost. But also after we're saved, it reminds us we need the glory of God in our life. We fall short in our own strength, in our own judgment, in our own direction, the way that we would go. We miss it every time, even as believers, if we're not led by the Holy Spirit. So we must lean on him. We must humble ourselves, and then God will give grace to the humble. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 12:10. We'll close with this. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Terry and I had a good talk about this the other day, and she just reminded me, Scott, it's that state of humility. It's that acknowledging that we are nothing without God that puts us in a place of power and true holiness and just the glorious life that God intended us to live. But we must be willing to and never get so big for our britches that we think that we don't need the Savior in our life at every turn and that we don't need God's guidance. You see, this all falls back into the idea of dependence. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:10. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore, I take pleasure, he said, in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. See, it's only in our weakness, when we get to a point that we acknowledge our need, our weakness, our inability apart from God, that's when we have come to the point that God can release, like he said in Romans 3:24, then the grace can just pour in, the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. But we must first come to that point that we recognize, I have fallen short. I fall short in my own strength. And that's what Paul said. He said, I've actually come to celebrate these conditions in my life here and there where I feel weak, inadequate, without the ability to meet the challenge. He said, that's a point I can celebrate because at that very place, the power of God, the power of Christ can rest upon me, can rest upon me. That's in the verse right before it, the last part of verse 9. He says, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. By the way, that's not sicknesses. That's weaknesses. Paul wasn't a sickly man. He was a very healthy, strong man, and he lived out the days of his life and fulfilled his call so he could say, I have finished my race. So this was not talking about sicknesses. This is talking about weaknesses. In fact, that's a really poor translation in the King James. Actually, NIV does translate it weaknesses. I boast about my weaknesses and insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties. He's talking about difficulties related to the gospel because he was imprisoned so much and persecuted. But then he says, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. And the power, he said, the power of Christ may rest upon me. So at that very place where we are weak, where we recognize, oh, wretched man that I am in this area, or woman, for you ladies out there, that's the very place the power of Christ can come and rest upon you. That's where his salvation can be poured out upon your life in abundance. Praise the Lord. It's about being dependent upon Jesus. See, we never stop being dependent on him. We had to depend on him to get saved, to get our sins forgiven. But even the whole Christian walk is a walk of dependence and recognizing time and time again where we are weak and we need his strength. It's just a matter of saying, Lord, I need you. I need a Savior. I need you to help me here in this area. I need you to guide me here and lead me in this or direct me in that, whatever it is that you're seeking God for. But we have to stop first and avoid that tendency, the Adamic, satanic tendency that says, I will be like my own God. I will direct my own life. Folks, that's satanic. That's exactly what Satan did in heaven. He said, I will be like God. That's what got him in real hot water. And it's what he did to deceive Adam. He said, you will be like God when you eat this fruit. And Adam, in a sense, in every way, was already like God. He was Lord over his kingdom, over his realm. He had everything at his disposal. And yet he was duped into, and that's what part of the fallen nature of man is wrapped up in, is I will direct my own steps. I can do this myself. And the reality is we can't. That's what Romans 3:23 teaches us. We all fall short and are in need of the glory of God. Well, praise the Lord. I believe as you've heard this word tonight, don't forget that the added bonus of verse 24 there in Romans 3. But we are, I'm going to read it one more time as we close out. We're going to end on a good note. Once we step into that place of humility, recognizing our need for the glory of God, it says, you will be justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. There's redemption in Jesus, saints, for every area of weakness in your life. Just reach out and receive it tonight, right now, and say, Jesus, fill me with your strength. Glorify yourself and your name in every weakness, in every inadequacy in my life. Come and fill every valley, Lord, by your grace. I humble myself there. And I welcome your grace to fill it, to fill it to the glory of your name, Jesus. Amen.